This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
Just like that, the final hour is here. Paul, look at the time. Primary complaints on the horizon. We're 15 minutes away from airing our top grievance of the week. And then we have a few hours off and then return for the 180 at 6.
103 to 105 always is one of my favorite moments of the day. Show is three quarters done, and it always sneaks up on me. It's a very sneaky time of day.
Here it is, the 1 o'clock hour. Again, we have primary complaint every Wednesday at 1:15. Looking forward to that. Some news. We've been discussing some attendance and ticket policies for teams across the NFL. We mentioned the Titans earlier this week. They've informed season ticket holders through a letter about their plan to move forward with season ticket members and how that's going to go. And then all individual tickets were refunded. Kansas City's choosing to do the individual ticket only, no season tickets. So you can get a refund of your season tickets, or you go to the front of the line for individual ticket options.
Did they give a percentage of what they're planning to sell or anything like that? Or is that still unknown? How much of Arrowhead?
I have not seen that. I have seen Baltimore. That Baltimore is going to allow, what, fewer than 14,000 in?
Yeah. What's my all 22s having a conversation about what's the number? They're debating what's their cutoff number for it to be worth it to be in the building. Like, for there to be enough of an atmosphere for them to feel like they want to be a part of it, you know, to which I'm saying, like, I don't know, if I was in, you know, and if I was a Ravens fan,
yeah,
would 14,000 be enough for me? Well, if the Ravens were pulling off a great win and I was a huge Ravens fan, I want to be there kind of Ravens fan. I don't know if the crowd size would be the thing. But, I mean, it's to each your own, right? How important is the communal experience in the deal for you? I think that's an interesting conversation to have. Where does that rank for you? For me, not that high.
Fans are opting to stay at home anyway. You know, there are picture-perfect Nashville days last fall where we're looking around going, why is this stadium not full?
Yeah, and you could get in for a very reasonable price, you know, with a street ticket.
I mean, yet post-game, from some of the biggest wins where Vrabel's going to a podium thanking the fans that actually decided to come to the game.
Yeah.
Thanks to those who were here, you made a difference.
Which is a message to those who weren't there.
Right. But, you know, if you're on the fence about attending a game last year, you're likely not attending a game at all this year. But there are the diehards who cannot wait for football season in person, regardless of level, high school, college, pro. They want to go and watch the game live. They want to take that game in, consume the game live at Nissan Stadium. I don't fault those fans that want to do that and that would choose to take two games instead of the allotted 8 regular season home games, if that's all they're given the option to do.
Yeah, I talked to Robinson a little bit about this last night. It's in this story I just posted that's keyed around the idea that he expects some players to show up with positive tests, but a few other COVID-related items, one of which being, you know, here they are having turned a corner in terms of getting the AFC Championship game, and you would think, you know, there were some dramatic games at home last year, the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's still stadium issues, but the product on the field at home the last couple years has been pretty good, you know, and you're building something with the fan base there in terms of roster building stability, coaching stability and reliability to the point where I think you could really market and say, hey, we've said all along the number one thing isn't the concourse width. It's what's going on down there on the green grass. And what's going down there on the green grass has been one of the better products in the league. Last year, it was one of the four best products in the league. Keep coming. Bring your friends. It's going to be worth your while and worth your investment. And now, boom. They can't market it to the degree that they'd like to market it because of something that's completely out of their control. And that's an unfortunate forced disconnect that they need to work to overcome in other ways where they say, hey, we're going to be here for you when we're able to be again, when we can fill this place up again, come close to filling it up again. And in the meantime, we're going to give you good football again, thrilling games again, and all of that. But it sucks in terms of their connection with their best fans and with their most loyal fans and with the fans that want to be in there to witness these kind of games firsthand. And some of those games last year, man, those were water cooler games, if you will. That water
cooler alone.
Idea, that water cooler idea is dying now, right? Like a buffet.
Right. They're not alone in not being able to capitalize. Kansas City, right?
Kansas City's always had it. Now they've got it.
Yeah, but the celebration the peak here is of it now. Right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a potential where you don't have a full stadium until next fall. And by next fall, there's a potential of a new Super Bowl champion that's defending the trophy, right? So you don't have that same pull, the same celebration year. Imagine being Las Vegas or LA opening those stadiums.
What a bummer.
To nothing, you know? And you've been anticipating this for years since the groundbreaking. You've had that banner outside of Vegas, right outside their stadium with John Gruden's, you know, headshot on there promoting 2020. It's here. And, well, 2020's here. Raiders football will be back, but you won't be able to take in the stadium very often.
You did the toilet flush test to make sure that you could flush all the toilets at the same time, and now you're not going to come close to actually testing that at all. You're going to flush three toilets at the same time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sucks for a lot of people. But the Titans are right there with, you know, from the ticket office stance. You're right. I mean, they're not able to capitalize on what was a thrilling season last year. And that playoff run, there are points on the calendar where you see on this date, and sometimes it feels like it was yesterday. Sometimes it feels like it was like double the amount of time. But today is the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the decision that aired on ESPN by LeBron James. That does not feel like 10 years ago to me.
The ESPN did like a retrospective on this where they kind of like broke it down and even maybe offered a bit of a mea culpa. I just saw a lot of tweets about it after they ran it. I didn't see it, and I didn't ask you guys about it. Did you see it?
I read the story on. I didn't watch it. The headline that caught my attention was ESPN admits how the decision came about, and it was not LeBron James coming to them. No kidding. This is how it went down. Bill Simmons had a mailbag at ESPN.com, and one of the questions directly asked to Bill Simmons was, what if LeBron James held his announcement for national television and millions could tune in to watch where he was going? Could he keep it under wraps? Like, could the news not break until he made the announcement? And then Simmons breaks down like how they would go about making that happen, theoretically. ESPN sees this and turns it into the decision. That's how it came about. It came about through someone who submitted a question for Bill Simmons' mailbag.
There's a guy named Henry Abbott who I think his site still exists, True Hoops. He was one of the original bloggers, like one of the original bloggers that got taken mainstream. And at my very first meeting at ESPN, our very first summit, Henry Abbott talked to us about what his blog was and what ours could be. He was fantastic. I have to go get this link and get it to you guys. He wrote a piece about Bill Simmons. And this Henry Abbott is as nice as could be. And he had to work in conjunction with Simmons a little bit. And he wrote the most scathing piece about Bill Simmons. It is unbelievable. I've never liked Bill Simmons. I don't have an interest in reading a Boston sports fan as a New York guy. I don't know why 35 other markets in America care to read a Celtics guy whine about the Celtics. But I got to get you this piece. It is a terrific takedown.
Well, he's now, what, $200 million richer?
Oh, yeah. It talks a lot about how his richness made him an even bigger jerk than he was at the start of the whole thing.
Well, being a jerk got him paid.
Yeah.
He's got $200 million off of selling the website that he started whenever he left ESPN.
It's a lot about how remarkable it was how much power he got so fast at ESPN and how everybody kowtowed to him at ESPN very quickly.
Share this for sure. Coming up, we will share our primary complaint of the week. We are ready to go. We hope you are as well. Let's load up the phone lines. It is time to air your top grievance of the week. Primary complaint. Not your secondary complaint. Don't come with three. We need one. Your top complaint. 615-737-1045. Our number. Primary complaint is next on the Midday 180. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Reed tells me there are three phone lines available for primary complaint at 615-737-1045. Our number. David Reed said from the jump today, from 10 a.m., he had a great primary complaint, initially claiming the third spot. But then PK came back and said, well, the third spot can be better served in Brentwood today. And we'll learn why in just a moment. But, Paul, let's first say we need our listeners to load up the phone lines for us.
Get on board to complain. This is a weekly ritual. It's often imitated. We know the names that other people are using for it. They want an apology or whatever. I hope you're not taking your complaints and using it on these things, which Jonathan Schaefer defends without really. If we took him to a court of law, I'd be convicted. So here's the original. Let's get about our business.
615-737-1045, our number. Primary complaint presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. 615-794-0800 is the number. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. That's 615-794-0800 or visit them online at tnstemcell.com.
Nashville traffic sucks. It's too hot outside.
Stay out of the left lane.
Bachelorette parties? Millennials? Chad hates Vandy. Paul's so negative. Sucks. This is my primary complaint on the Midday 180.
I'll kick it off, guys. My primary complaint today and this week is the decision of Vanderbilt University to absorb its athletics communications department. Vanderbilt, in a conference that makes over $700 million in revenue per year, a conference that faces more media requests and coverage than any collegiate conference in America, they've now decided not to have that media relations department for athletics. We as a show did not buy the spin behind the promotion of Candace Story Lee, just like we learned that David Williams wasn't to blame for the approach he was forced to take when it came to athletic advancement. And just like Malcolm Turner, although they praised him as an outside-the-box hire, they didn't really want him to color outside the lines of their small approach to their programs and the students who choose to play for them. Larry Leathers, who ran that office, just took a buyout, and the other SIDs working there represent a group of passionate people that are behind Commodore Athletics. And now, if they're fortunate enough to stick around after reapplying for their positions, they'll be working for a university that only wants to tighten the leash even more. That's my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
So I'm trying to figure out if there's something wrong with me, or I've had it with this pandemic and everything that it's created, especially here in this building, because there's very few people here in this building, but it seems like each week, each day, every single one of them is starting to get on my nerves. There's a coffee situation here in the building. Someone's still burning pots of coffee. There's one in there now that's beyond repair. It looks like a lava field from Hawaii in the bottom of this coffee pot. We're also out of caffeinated coffee. So if you can hear my voice, send us caffeinated coffee. Also cleaning supplies. But what we are not in short supply of are coffee cups. There are plenty of coffee cups, the disposable, recyclable coffee cups in there in the kitchen that you can use. But some people are still using coffee mugs. And I walk in today and I see two mugs sitting in the sink when there's a dishwasher right there that you could have placed them in to clean them. But let's go back to the mugs that were sitting in the sink. There was one mug sitting in the sink. It looks like this, gentlemen. I'm showing it to you on Skype right now. It's celebrating the 75th anniversary of Spring Hill High School. Now, I can understand if you were in dire need of a coffee mug, how you could grab this one and fill it up. I don't understand why you would drink out of it and then just put it back in the sink and not clean it and put it back where you got it. I can understand that mistake. I will give you a little bit of levity on that. But there was also this one in the sink as well that has been used. This coffee mug, which features the beautiful face of my wife, my dog, and myself. If you're going to drink out of a coffee mug during a pandemic that has a photo on it, that photo better be of you, or else don't use the coffee mug.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
Excellent.
Bravo. That was definitely cleanup worthy. My primary complaint, and excuse me if I've hit on this before, I don't think I have. It is a huge problem in the Kuharsky household. There are three people that live in this house. Two of them have absolutely no concern for turning off the lights. They leave a room with zero care for flipping the light switch. Therefore, I walk around the house and I say, Simon, I'm turning off the lights in your bedroom. Oftentimes I hear, I don't care, in response, Teresa, turning off the light in your office that's been on all day since you came down this morning. Hey, I'm turning off the closet light here. My primary complaint is my family's refusal to turn off unused lights.
And my primary complaint is that Dad keeps nagging me about it.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
Why do you not care about turning off the lights?
Why do you care so much about turning off the lights? Like, it was just overnight. You're just like, okay, now I need everyone to turn off the lights. You didn't care, and then one day you're just like, turn off the lights.
No, I've always cared about turning off the lights. And you always say, well, it only costs a couple dollars. Like, you have no idea what it costs. Now,
Neither do you.
Yes, that's correct. I have no idea what it costs, but I know it costs something. And I also know there's no reason for your room to be lit when you're not in there.
It's for show.
For show?
Like,
show
do you like,
what?
You like when the neighbors have good gardens? Well, I like when the neighbors have their lights on.
You're making no sense. Please turn off the light.
No.
Listen to Mr. Jonathan.
You like the glow of the home from the outside. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
During the day, no one can tell if the light's on or off.
Day. So, oh, your dad has a great point here. This is during the day. So, yeah, he defeats your argument, Simon. There's no way to tell if the light is on during the day.
If I open my window and people can see through it and see my light, then...
They can't see
your
light.
Yes, they
can. It's pure laziness. And flipping a switch is zero effort.
Exactly why I don't need to do it.
All right, you're
going to be... You can do it for me.
You know what you're going to get if you continue to not turn off the lights?
I don't care.
Demerits. We're finally going to enforce the demerit system. You've been waiting for that for years, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
All right, get out of here and go turn off lights around the house.
Simon Kuharsky, he's about to pull a plug that knocks Paul off the air.
Yeah, what? How do I turn off the sun? Pull. That's a pull door.
Let's go to the phones. That was excellent.
I don't know how much it costs, but
I feel like everybody brought it today. Thanks. And Reed, you're right. That was cleanup worthy. But then Simon walks into the room, and it's automatically going last because he's nice enough to join us. I took time out of Fortnite to come downstairs.
He's off Fortnite.
Really?
Fortnite, which it could be a primary complaint. Like, I don't want him playing Fortnite all day, but I need him to play Fortnite for a couple of hours
because he's removed
from the rest of us. He's never from his parent, watching YouTube and TV. So when it comes time for Daddy to watch Daddy's TV, guess who's around?
I just got a text from my wife who did not send me a text saying, yeah, you're right, honey. You should not drink out of a coffee mug that has someone else's photo on it, especially mine. She said, no, preach, Paul, because we have this conversation around my house all the time. I leave the lights on because I'm 42-year-old diabetic and I can't see anymore. She would prefer to live in a cave with no light. She still has youthful eyes, so she can read fine print in the dark.
I'm big on that, David. When Teresa's reading with no light, I can't handle it. I move a lamp and I turn it on so she can have light. But when she leaves that seat, then I turn the light off.
But the lights from other rooms. You win this argument. I mean, I understand exactly what you're thinking, but
and I don't handle the electric bill. I'm not.
But Teresa is on Simon's side here, even though your argument of his purpose of leaving the light on would be at night. And he's leaving it on during the day. So his whole purpose is defeated by your argument.
Their whole purpose in leaving the lights on is now that it annoys me.
Well, in that case, we're all for that. Let's go to the phones. And Hair Metal Henry leads us off. Henry.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I guarantee this is going to be the strangest complaint that you will ever hear from me. But in the year of our Lord 2020, after tornadoes, floods, and COVID-19, here I am complaining about happy hour. And not just any happy hour. Happy hour, it's two for one, where they bring you both drinks at the same time. I hate that, especially for beer drinkers like me. You don't want a beer sitting there for 20 minutes getting close to room temperature while you're drinking your other one. I mean, it's 2020. We can drive a four-wheeler on the planet Mars from the city of Houston, but we don't have point-of-sale software that tells my server if I've had one or two beers. I mean, I know some folks have tried to use the poker chip system, and you got a couple of wise guys out there who try to figure out the color of the chip and cheat the system and all that stuff. But how about we just make it easy and all drinks during happy hour are half price? That way we can keep up with it.
2020 yeah. Strikes again. Henry complaining about happy hour. Never thought we'd see that.
Or a device to cool your beer. Right? Like, isn't there a sidecar to some drinks that comes on ice, like in a little ice thing, or a bucket, like a small
glass? You know, most come with like a chilled glass, at least.
I agree.
Primary complaint presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin, online at tnstemcell.com. You can stop complaining about your pain and call Dr. Gill, 794-0800. Back to the phones. Roger. Welcome.
Cold water on the left. Just stop it.
I missed it. Cold water what?
Cold water on the left at the sink.
Where is this happening?
Instead of hot water. I've been in two or three places where that happens.
Is that just a plumbing error?
Do what?
Is that just a Is that just a plumbing error?
And now we have a phone error with Roger.
I mean, do you think somebody's doing that on purpose, or that the plumber messed up?
I think it is the maybe not the plumber. I think someone installed a new faucet and then connected the hoses the wrong way, and then just moved out of the home or whatever.
Or it could seem like a bar doing it on purpose.
As I was moving out of my old home 2 years ago, I'm moving the washer and dryer, and I'm disconnecting the washer and dryer for the first time. And they had the hoses backwards on there. So, but not hot and cold, but how you would turn to take the, you know, righty tighty, lefty loosey, it was backward. So as I'm trying to loosen the hose, I'm also turning the water off, or so I thought. But on this, you turn it left to turn it off. I was turning it right and cranking the water. So as I disconnected the washer, water went everywhere. And I'm thinking, I have this thing tight. Like, it should be off. And instead, someone, you know, played a cruel joke when they installed it. And to turn it off, you actually had to turn it the opposite direction of anything you had been taught. It was a mess. Yes. Let's go to Trey. What's up, Trey?
What's up? How y'all doing? Oh, I got to side with your son, Simon. I'm sorry. I got to side with him. You're wrong. Have you ever heard of LED lights? LED, use them. You don't have to worry about it, Paul. LED.
LEDs,
yeah, you can leave them out to get those. I'll send them out to get those and change out his lights.
That way you're not going to pay for that electricity bill.
I guess not.
It saves you a ton. I can't tell you what it saves you.
It's the principle of the matter.
Yeah, but I kind of think whoever's in charge of paying the electric bill gets to set the temperature on the thermostat and determine when lights go on or off.
I got to tell you, I know that there will be people out there that say they don't care. If my thermostat downstairs, and this has all changed, 72 used to be the number. Right now, if it's set at 74, it's hot. And if it's set at 73, it's freezing. It's unbelievable. And
anywhere
I know
in the home?
Like a little old lady. No, downstairs.
Downstairs.
And part of it's because I close my office doors now for this four-hour show. And any closed door in the house messes up the whole flow.
Same thing here with the closed door in this office. I've got to turn a fan on.
I opened the doors after the show and still watching TV later on. I'll either have a blanket over my legs at 73 or feel like I'm sweating at 74.
I feel like that's a hormonal issue with you, Paul.
Could be. I don't know. Everybody agrees that it's a crucial distinction, the three or the four.
Les is on deck, but we go to Ricky Bobby, who is up on one of the lines there. What's up?
Blaine is for the new pavement on the wonderful new I-440. Man, every time it rains, it turns into the Ford ice skating rink.
Is that because it's concrete, Reed? Instead of asphalt?
No, it's asphalt now. So they tore up all of the concrete. There was like 18 inches deep of concrete that they had to tear up for the entire length of 440. But it's asphalt now, and it's new asphalt. Still got oil and stuff sitting on top of it, and it gets pretty slick, especially when in the heat or in the rain. But, hey, I'll take it. I'll take my chances and take my life rather than riding on 440 the way it used to be.
In time, though, it'll be less slick.
Yeah, a lot of that will wash off, and it should be perfectly fine. But no, but that's not a 440 problem. People can't. It sprinkles in this town, and there's wrecks all over the place. So it's not specific to 440.
Yeah, it's crazy. I will say we didn't get a chance of this. They finished that project ahead of schedule, partly probably because traffic was reduced because of COVID. It's three lanes instead of two. It rides beautifully. I haven't been on it in the rain to slip and slide or whatever. There are big, clear signs. I don't know if people are actually using the merge lane to accelerate. That would be a big step, but, bravo to that construction crew, a rare project in Tennessee that actually a road project that actually seems to have been efficiently done. I'm awaiting the headline in 6 months that there's some fatal flaw to it and they have to tear it all up and spend $1 billion to redo it because of something. But in the meantime, good job.
It took a total of 1 week. We get word that they finished that project. And among the hierarchy, if we're making a list of most complained about things in the history of primary complaint, 440's up there. I don't know if it's number one, but it's up there. And 1 week after they actually repair the road, someone calls in to complain about 440.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Les, what's up, Les?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My primary complaint is I'm in Bowling Green, just north of you guys, and the last 4 or 5 months, there's a station out of Indianapolis that bleeds into yours. So my complaint is, send somebody out there and turn your antenna to the north so I don't have to listen to the crappy rap music that this Indianapolis station is playing.
Dockett started playing rap?
Yeah, bump music there for Dockett just changed a bit. There he is trying to get into our markets.
Yeah, he's trying to overthrow us from ahead.
He's trying to kick us off the tail. He needs like Matt Jones or someone else chasing him. The way he's guaranteed the victory.
He's rough.
He's still poolside somewhere. Actually, you know what he was doing? I was tuned in this weekend. I saw a basketball tournament on the guide, and it said live. So I'm like, okay, let me see this. It was the TBT, the basketball tournament. And Dokic was calling that game. One of the, I don't know what I was watching, but Dokic was on the broadcast. I don't know if he was there, if he was in a studio calling the game, but he was calling live basketball.
He's not leaving.
He's not. We're not either. Another segment coming up, 615-737-1045, our number. Still time for your primary complaint, presented by the Dr. Gill Center at the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee. It's the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. So during the break, Paul and I went in search of the schedule for the MLS's back tournament. It's on ESPN tonight. And nowhere on ESPN.com's front page, I judge this, Paul, based on if I have to scroll or not. I'm saying like the seven headlines here.
Right.
No mention of MLS returning tonight. And it's on their network.
And it's live sports.
Is this not a signal of the, if MLS moves the needle or not? And if it ever will move the needle, this tournament should be the programming that actually does, because we have been begging for live sports to return and not have to watch cornhole. And instead, they're going to revisit LeBron's NBA titles with the Heat, not discussing the decision. They're reliving a headline of LeBron's two titles with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. That's their headline.
It's bad. Now, I went and found it on the soccer page. So we've got Orlando City SC versus Inter Miami tonight at 7 Central on ESPN. Again, that seems ridiculous to me that they wouldn't be highlighting that on the bigger page as opposed to making us go to the soccer page. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., New York City FC versus the Philadelphia Union. And then really annoying me. These aren't the same nights. Sorry. Never mind. I thought they had head-to-head games going on. They do not, from what I can tell. And it would be really stupid to have head-to-head games going on. But here's the thing. They say group stage games you can't afford to miss. Give me all the group stage games. Again, like you're cherry-picking the ones I can't afford to miss. There have been no sports for 3+ months, and now you have live sports. Don't pick out the quote-unquote good games. Give me a list of all of the games and tell me something about every game. You've had no games. You're a sports network. You've had zero games for months and months. Now you have games, and you're going to still do your standard. This is the typical thing. Now you're doing your standard exact same thing as you would do if this was just the beginning of the tournament after a season in which we watched MLS, you know, last week. This is a very formulaic BS by Austin Lindberg, who I'm sure is following instructions from middle managers like my guy, whose name I can't even remember, which brings me joy. I can't remember my favorite middle manager's name, but this is the kind of thing he would have asked me to do, and I would have told him why it was stupid. And then he would have reported that to John Plume, and John Plume would have instructed me to do otherwise. And I would have told him why it was stupid. And that's why I don't work for John Plume anymore.
Well, I mean, ESPN can argue they're not going to show NHL highlights all that much. They do some, but they're not going to give a ton of coverage to the NHL because they don't have that contract. But with sports returning tonight, and Nashville having a team now, I was going to tune in and watch all this. I was going to be in. Like I'm invested as just a casual fan who wants to tune in and watch live local sports. Nashville, of course, has the game postponed, but it's still in the back of my mind. I was making an appointment to watch sports tonight, and I go to ESPN to find the schedule, and you have to go to their MLS page. Like, they're burying it. They don't want you to know that soccer is on their screen tonight for some reason.
Yeah. I've watched all but one of Chelsea's games since they've come back. One of them wasn't on TV. It only streamed on ESPN Plus, and Simon had a baseball game concurrently. And I've been loving it. I'm learning the team better than I have. Pulisic's playing out of his mind. And it's been phenomenal. He scored a great goal yesterday. Simon texted me during the show, do you want to know the Chelsea score? And I said, no. And later he told me that he was about to text me the Chelsea score when he asked my wife if he should do that. And she said, absolutely not. He should do that. At the very most, he should ask me if I want to know the Chelsea score, which he did. He was totally into it. He watched the game. And he told me it was thrilling and then told me we should watch it together. And so before I went to Party Foul, where the John Robinson event was, he and I watched the game, which for him was a rewatch. So he got really into an exciting EPL game yesterday.
What is Catfish Jake's Fu Manchu like in person?
Dude, he looks totally different. It changes his face entirely. He looks older. He looks thinner.
More sophisticated.
He looks maybe like he's emaciated a little bit in the face. His eyes look withdrawn. Like he's,
so he looks sick.
He looked like he came out of a horror movie last night and was scared. He looked scared. Maybe John Robinson scared him. I don't know.
Maybe. Imagine Reed with a Fu Manchu. I wrote down this note based on his primary complaint. I just now realized there's a dishwasher in our kitchen upstairs at the building whenever he mentions this. I'd never noticed it, and I'm trying to picture it. I know exactly where it is now. Did you know this, Paul? Did you know we had a dishwasher there? We have
no,
right by the fridge.
No, but I'm not taking shame in this because I've never been in position to wash a dish, nor will I ever be in position to wash a dish.
But we've been in that room, like the room that doesn't offer doesn't offer anything but a frozen drink. I wrote this down, like, dishwasher. I had no
idea. Can
you
give us an update? I'm more curious about the vending machines.
The vending machine upstairs, there's still some stuff downstairs. I've tried not to go downstairs very often. That's just a habit that I formed years ago in this building for a number of reasons. But the upstairs vending machine is down to one bag of pork rinds. From what I can tell, there's like six Butterfingers that are from 2019. There's something behind those that I can't quite make out. One package of trail mix and a bunch of those caffeinated energy bars that no one wants. And also down below, they have a selection of Lifesavers. Right. And I thought the other day, how old are these Lifesavers in there? So I tried to get some so I could see the date on them. And you can't even purchase them. It won't allow you to purchase the Lifesavers at the bottom of
it
the vending machine
at a certain time.
And the coil's stuck.
There's four different ones and they're all full.
What? So it's not been refilled once since
it has not. Neither has the drink machine. So you can't even get a frozen Diet Dr. Pepper out of there right now.
I think there's a fascinating story to be done about the state of the vending machine industry. And then, like, if you could get pictures of some lonely office kitchens like ours, I would read that story. I think it would be tremendous if you went to people like you who are semi-reliant on those and how your life has changed and you've had to stop at the Quickie Mart more often. I would read this story. I think there's something there. You're welcome, Tennessean.
Reed's holding up all these different mugs that are his sitting in the sink. I'm hopeful that no one has found my hiding spot where I keep my coffee mug there.
You keep a coffee mug there? I thought
Now I'm going to go on a hunt for it.
It's a big picture of Claire on there and Charlie. Yeah.
I've got a number of different mugs, but I leave one there that was sent as like a, well, one of those random gifts that you get in like a gift bag, that we would get from time to time, Paul, at the station.
The kind that Eddie's going to give you from the golf
tournament. Yeah, exactly. Like I just put my initials on it and that became my mug that I kept at the station. And I have a special hiding spot in the kitchen for it. And
Only so much room.
I don't know if Reed is nimble enough to find it, just quite
honest. Now I'm definitely going to find it. Yeah. 3HL will not be on the air until I go and find this during the break.
Now he's going to play a game of like the floor is lava. Simon was very disappointed when we got to the last episode of Floor is Lava on Netflix, and the guy said, well, we'll be back next episode with new rooms. Oh, no, we won't, because this is the last episode.
Like, they didn't even edit that out? And Teresa was like, oh, yeah, just leave it in.
No, he was joking. And Teresa was like, Simon was like, oh, I'm sad. And Teresa was like, no, that's okay.
We will be back this evening for the 180 at 6.
Well, you haven't had enough of us, and we must return.
I'm glad Teresa signs off on that hour, unlike the floor is lava. We are back at it tonight, and then tomorrow, Coach Matt kicks off the show with us. Hope you'll join us tonight at 6, following 3HL right here on your home for the Titans and Vols, 104.5 The Zone.
Don't block the box. Do lock the locks, and please consider turning off the lights when you're not going to be in the room. I'm working on it over here, God knows. See ya!